Despite the fears of those Ukrainian troops, the Russian foreign minister has repeatedly said that his country will not invade. Sergei Lavrov is expected to meet his US counterpart Antony Blinken in coming weeks.
There won't be a war as far as it depends on the Russian Federation. We don't want a war. But we won't let our interests be rudely trampled on and ignored. The US has rejected all the Russian security proposals for the last 2 or 3 years. Now they're putting the same things on the table. In other words, they're borrowing from recent Russian initiatives. This is something, at least.
Belarusian and Russian militaries will conduct joint drills next month. Russia's been deploying extra soldiers and fighter jets to its neighbor and ally. In a national address, Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko said that hundreds of thousands of Russian troops were ready to defend the country.
So will there be war or not? Yes, there will be, but only in two cases. If direct aggression is committed against Belarus, if a hot war is unleashed against our Belarus. And the second possibility for war to happen and for Belarus to take part in is if our ally, the Russian Federation, is directly attacked, if the same aggression is committed against the territory of the Russian Federation.
Well, that's the diplomatic front in the East. For the story in the West, let's go live to Paris. Al Jazeera's Natasha Butler is there. President Macron of France has spoken to Russia's president. What do we know of the call, Natasha?
Yes, the French and Russian presidents had a phone call, we're told by the Elysee, that lasted about an hour. We don't have the details yet, but we are expecting to be briefed by Elysee spokespeople a little bit later this afternoon, Paris time. What we know, though, is we heard a little earlier from France's foreign minister, who said really what the situation is that the ball, he said, is in Russia's court. And what Macron was hoping to get from this telephone call, we understand, are two main things. One, of course, to try and defuse the crisis over Ukraine, to try and personally persuade, if you like, President Putin to follow the path of diplomacy and not of conflict. Macron also adamant that he would give send Putin a very clear message that, of course, if Russia was to invade Ukraine, then Western allies would respond with severe sanctions. The other thing Macron was hoping to do in this telephone call is try and understand exactly what Russia's intentions are. Is it intending to Ukraine? Russia certainly invade Ukraine. Russia certainly says it has no intention to do so. But Macron wants to know, why is there such a troop build-up on the border? More transparency from Moscow.
Natasha, many thanks. Al Jazeera's Natasha Butler there, live in Paris. Let's get a little geographical context now. Russia has troops and military equipment on its border with Ukraine, to the north in Belarus, where they're due to take part in war games, and to the south in Crimea, which Russia annexed in 2014. Andreas Krieg is with us in London. He's an associate professor in the Defence Studies Department at King's College London and the author of Surrogate Warfare: The Transformation of War in the 21st Century. Good to have you with us, Andreas. Does the number of troops that Russia has currently stationed at Ukraine's border indicate to you that an incursion or invasion is a distinct possibility, as the US says?
Well, it all depends on the political objectives, ultimately, that Russia has. So any campaign plan, operational plan, will stem from the ultimate objective that Russia is trying to pursue. Is Russia ready to have a war in Ukraine? Of course, it could do that, but it comes at immense risk, and especially in the land warfare domain. 100,000 troops certainly looks a lot. It would be a combined arms approach, but it will come with at very high cost and with a lot of risks also for casualties on both sides, because I think in the land warfare domain, particularly on the eastern and northern flank of the Ukraine is very fairly well defended, especially after training and supplies coming in from the west over the last 7-8 years. So Ukraine is a lot more ready to defend itself now than it was in 2014, but there is a weak underbelly. I mean, the weak underbelly, and I think you've seen that on that map, is really towards the south. Now, with Crimea being occupied by Russia, there is a possibility of the Russians using their advantage in the naval space or in the air power space. So the naval space would mean a maritime landing and an amphibious landing. But this would be very difficult to do and would also come with its own risks. So Russia knows this will be a very high-cost escalation if they do so. Okay. I also would say that, in terms of logistics, the Russians are not really ready yet to maintain a campaign into deep in Ukraine because the environment isn't as permissive.
I was going to say 100,000 sounds a lot, but is it enough? What is Russia's strategy here? Is it all about pressuring the West and NATO into making concessions? Is it a good strategy? Is it working? Or has Russia miscalculated?
Well, I mean, it's still up for speculation. I also would say that the Kremlin really hasn't made up its mind of what it is that it can achieve, really. I think Belarus is a very important point that you already stated in the initial video, because here we've seen the Russians actually getting into Belarus after everything that happened there over the last 2-3 years, and doing so without any condemnation from the West. It has happened quietly because everyone is focused on Ukraine. I think there is already an objective that Russia has achieved. In terms of the negotiation over whether Ukraine would actually never join NATO, which is the kind of the request that the Russians are making, it seems like the West is really diametrically opposed in their objectives. There doesn't seem to be a real compromise at this point in time that they can walk towards. The problem with the Russians is they haven't really created an off-ramp for themselves, for them to step away from this escalation into a diplomatic realm. So it really depends. If a proper invasion, and I mean a combined arms operation deeply into Ukrainian territory will be very, very difficult. If it's about toppling the regime in Kiev or toppling the political status quo, creating chaos, that can be achieved through a variety of different means, which doesn't necessarily need an invasion of 100,000 troops. It can be done through surrogates. It can be done in the information space through cyber operations. And it can be done by a very small, very focused operation in eastern Ukraine. But all of that will come with huge economic costs for Russia, and it will come with reputational costs for Russia as well. And the question is that something that Russia is willing to bear? Is that a burden that Russia is willing to bear? And I think negotiations are already going in the right direction. I think what Russia wanted to have ultimately is having a common ground with finding common ground with the West to negotiate. And I think they've gotten this. They're now sitting at the table. They are talking. And I think that is probably what the Russians are trying to achieve. I cannot imagine that they're interested in a major combat operation, because nothing what Russia has done over the last 30 years would prepare the military to actually conduct an operation such as this.
Andreas, good to talk to you. Many thanks indeed. Andreas Krieg there in London.